Hey, fabulous people. It's Camille Forte here for the Get a Hand Up podcast, helping you get a hand up with your marketing, your social media, your strategy, and all that other fabulous geeky stuff. I am especially excited about tonight's podcast. I am so excited. My geek hairs are all standing on end. Before I tell you why I'm so excited, let me tell you that in the studio with us, we have the incredible...
Ahem.
I was in the middle of the intro. Did you not hear the intro?
Ahem.
Ahem. Mike's here, okay? I'm not even going to do the intro. Michael is here.
Well, no, it's not Michael today. I am the Iron Sheik.
Oh, Lord.
Wait. My applause.
His applause.
Continue.
Right. Well, thank you. Anyway, I am honored to have such a wrestling icon as the Iron Sheik here with me tonight, but he will be helping out with some cool facts and stats. And while there will be a couple numbers thrown around, just as you're listening, I want you to be inspired because this is... It's definitely an unusual podcast, I think, because, you know, I'm sort of in geek heaven, and it ties in with the holidays, it ties in with the way that you think about marketing, and it also ties in with some really critical trends as of late. So really try to wrap your mind around it from a conceptual aspect and then kind of bring it home with how it applies to you and your business. And maybe we'll even kick around some ideas of how it would apply to different industries. But so I am a loyal viewer of the TV show Mr. Robot. Show featuring Rami Malek, Christian Slater, among many other very talented actors. Not surprising that I'm a fan of the show. It's a show about, you know, computer people. They're hackers. I'm not a hacker, but they're computer people. And so, you know, it's the show is just phenomenal. I mean, when they made the show, they never thought it would go past one season. And we're now in season three. And we're just at a point where it's blown my mind to the point that I'm doing a podcast out of the marketing move that I saw in the show. So I can imagine, you know, how much longer it will go. But so what happened was the Iron Sheik and I were taking a break one evening to watch Mr. Robot, as we often do. And there was, well, one cool thing about Mr. Robot, which is another marketing feat in and of itself, it runs commercials for its own fictitious world during the commercial break. So while the show's on commercial break, for example, one of the, you know, big plots in the show is about E-Corp. And, you know, this big, evil, global corporation, yada, yada, you get the idea. But they run commercials for different divisions of E-Corp in the commercial breaks. Now, one of the things that this does, obviously, is even for people like myself who sometimes have to DVR shows and catch them, you know, when business isn't happening, I'm still more likely to sit through the commercial break because these E-Corp commercials are so catchy. I don't want to miss them. And they've, you know, the show has set up this whole fictitious world online where you can go to ecoin.com and sign up for their digital currency or become a, you know, a fake E-Corp employee. It's, I'm sure it's very geeky to a lot of people, but for me, it's really cool marketing. The Iron Sheik is raising his hand. Go on.
It works so well, Camille, and you could agree with me that myself and Camille on our personal Facebook pages went to the fictitious E-Corp site and made ourselves some name plaques and, you know, used their website, and we actually announced it. And people that know us in real life, some that honestly know who we are, know that we won't work for another corporation because we do business for ourselves. But we've gotten about, I would say, 54 likes and hearts about our new job, people actually congratulating us on our new job at E-Corp. And there was even a post that I made when I was talking trash about one of the, you know, the mm-hmm. show's characters, and people were just like putting the happy laughing face on there saying, oh, you know, I hope your boss doesn't come online to talk about this or come and see that you're talking trash about her. And it's in, and Camille and I had to sit there and we really had to think.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Mike, but it was just, if you think about it, it's not as though the producers of the show went to rocket science lengths. I mean, it was just a graphic generator that superimposed our names onto cubicles.
No, here's the funny thing. Three people sent me private messages saying, I went to the site and I could not find a place to apply now.
Oh, no, that's sad.
No, the funny thing is on the site at the bottom that says, it says in bold letters, this is a fictitious company. E-Corp and E-Coin are not legal tender for the United States or any or other country, both digitally or physically. This, and it has a link to the USA Network.
I knew that you had received a number of personal messages asking us, you know, had you given up photography? Had I given up marketing? What was going on? But the graphics were perfect, and I'm sure it didn't take master coders to generate our names onto images of cubicles.
But it was done, like getting back to your point, it was done so well that it tricked 50 some odd people on our Facebook list and convinced three of them to actually go apply to a fictitious company.
And we had people coming out of the woodwork congratulating us. And here's the kicker, is that when we realized that nobody even realized that it was a joke, we actually ran with it. We didn't intend for this to be a social experiment, but when we saw how people reacted and how seamlessly the producers of Mr. Robot had, you know, made this, we actually started to run with it. And one of the characters' name is Angela, and I actually tagged her character's profile on Facebook in a comment in the thread. This is talking about, you know, oh, don't mind Angela. She's, you know, she'll calm down. She's just being hard on you because you're new. And people had no idea. And we were tagging characters. It was like we were putting a neon sign out there saying, people, it's a joke. Get it. Mm-hmm. And no, it was that convincing.
I actually went on my Facebook profile and posted about how protesters were downstairs our building, and some of them broke in through security and trashed some of the floors, and how Elliot, my buddy Elliot that works on the same cubicle area as I do, just got fired and got escorted by security outside of the building. I actually had people say, hey, man, you know, I'm going to keep Elliot in my prayers. And and you want to laugh. You want to say, no, he's fine. He's actually finishing up the Freddie Mercury movie right now. And it was done so well with the Inception marketing that it made people believe that E-Corp and E-Coin exist.
Yeah.
I had a friend say, can I buy illegal drugs with E-Coin versus Bitcoin? And I didn't want to answer that because I was on the road.
No. Here's the thing, is that, well, at least the Iron Sheik knows that what I'm really excited about this week is infiltration marketing. But this little anecdote in and of itself about the Facebook experiment or experience, whichever, I'm not sure if that speaks more to infiltration marketing or more to the general attention span and IQ of people, but I'll leave that for you to decide. What happened week before last, I guess it was, One of the E-Corp commercials happened during the commercial break, and it was the most brilliant marketing thing I had seen in as long as I can remember. A woman was sitting on her couch, like any other commercial, a young woman. She got a voicemail, or a voicemail from her mother, and saying, you know, "Are you okay? I haven't heard from you in days. Are you okay out there?" And the young woman turns to her Echo Dot and says, "Alexa, give me the Daily 5-9." And it immediately began to tell the story of what was happening with the power outage, the 5-9 hack, which is a huge plot of the show, what was going on in society in New York City because of it. And at that moment, I think thousands of people across the country who are also huge robot, Mr. Robot fans, got up, ran to their Echo Dots and said, "Alexa, give me the Daily 5-9. And I was one of them. And my head nearly popped off. It was that brilliant, because Alexa started to actually report to me the Daily 5-9 as if I was in the world of Mr. Robot. And then while I was in the middle of the news broadcast, a male voice broke through the broadcast and interactively spoke with me, told me that everything I did and said was being seen and heard, and asked me, was I a part of the revolution? Was I, you know, down for the adventure? I mean, it was just the craziest interactive experience I've had in a long time. Now, what this did for a company called Earplay, first of all, let me tell you that up until then, I knew that Alexa could do over 15,000 commands, which is exponentially more than any of the other digital devices. Sorry, Google. But yeah, Alexa is the industry leader at the moment. But after that, you know, I didn't even know that there were these quote-unquote Alexa skills. I knew that Alexa integrated with everything in my home, from my Philips smart lights, my alarm system. But I had no idea that she could be an actual interactive entertainment device. And yes, Mr. Sheik, or shall I just call you Iron?
Sheiky Baby.
Oh, Sheiky Baby. And that's right. And if
you remember, this is my second time using Iron Sheik.
Oh, you did? You used Iron Sheik before?
I'm a big fan of his. I met him once. He's a sweetheart. If you ever see some of his YouTube videos, you know, you may say otherwise, but he is very down to earth. This is kind of a sidetrack, but the funny thing is talking about infiltration marketing and the scare. In season 2 of Mr. Robot, because how the television show portrayed how easy it was for a hacker to hack into your smart home and, you know, screw up your lights, your temperature gauge for your heating system, you know, everything that's controlled by a smart device sales went down by 74%. I had to ask a friend of mine that works, you know, at Home Depot, and he said it plummeted 74% after the airing of episode 1 of season 2 of Mr. Robot a year ago. But it was Alexa and the integration of Alexa into smart devices that brought it back up 85% within that same year.
I don't think I've heard anything that crazy since I heard about that radio show that took place in the 50s, the original War of the Worlds, and how so many listeners, especially those who hadn't tuned in right in the beginning to hear that it was a fictitious story, They just turned their radios on halfway through, and they actually thought the world was under attack from aliens. And here we are in 2017. Well, when did Mr. Robot come out? 2016, 2015?
2015.
But here we are in our day and age, and people actually think that we're under attack from these hacktivists, and it's just wild. And so, getting back to Alexa, the company that made that particular skill for Mr. Robot, there was a startup called Earplay. And, you know, because of the skill that they made, first of all, I now know that Alexa is far more than a digital assistant. She's actually an interactive entertainment and storytelling device. And that is awesome. I didn't know until just recently I could go on Amazon and search for all of these experiences to be had. But okay, you want to talk about the bottom line? Earplay is now up to a total of more than 300,000 users. More than 300,000 users. And if I recall correctly, from when I looked into this, in 2013, they had about 600. And so it's been a pretty big jump. That's just, and the point is, they tapped into something that we have come to trust, and that trust now transfers over to that other brand or product. Now, you've heard me talk recently a lot about trust because it's critical in marketing. You can have two products that are identical. People will pay a higher price to the brand they trust more because it's a multiplier of value. I hope you really let that sink in. You can have two identical apples, and if someone has more trust in either your customer service, your return policy, your overall quality, their other experiences with your brand, whatever it is that created that trust, they will actually shell out more money for an identical product if they trust it more. And that's where infiltration marketing comes in. Cheeky Baby, give us another example of infiltration marketing, because I know that you've got a really good one.
It's not more of infiltration marketing, but it's like marketing to, you know, marketing and catering. Like, okay, let me kind of dumb it down for some that don't speak Marketingese. I made that up, Marketingese. Mm-hmm. What infiltration marketing is like to infiltrate the world or the fictitious world or the ecoscope or the ecosystem of a brand or an identity. So like Mr. Robot, like how you said. So Amazon used Alexa, knowing that it's a digital smart assistant, to integrate into the Mr. Robot world. Like the character Grace Gubar, I cannot pronounce her name, but the FBI agent, as she's introduced into the series, we kind of see a complexity to her towards her. But one of the constant variables is that she turns to her digital assistant at night to speak to it as if it was a real human.
She's a solo woman, and every night she's alone in her apartment and she talks to Alexa.
I, myself and Camille, you know, we talk to Alexa. I talk to her nicely because if robots ever take over, I want to be on her good side. But if you look at infiltration, I'm sorry, Camille, would you?
I would laugh, except I actually agree with you. So one day, I'm very nice to Alexa. I'm always like, Alexa, thank you.
I even ask Alexa, do you like me or Camille more? And she doesn't want to answer because I control the IP password to the network. And she sleeps towards Camille's side of the bed. So, you know, but I'll give us this best example. Being a gamer, three things gamers love: Taco Bell, I'm not a fan of this Mountain Dew and Doritos. Okay. But if you look at any gamer and you look at the stereotype of gaming, you see that the gamers are always munching on something on a coffee table, drinking the Dew, and going to Taco Bell late at night. Even the Xbox One X has apps to, what's that, Grubon?
Mm-hmm.
Where you could preset your Taco Bell order, and within like 15 to 20 minutes, somebody from Uber is going to come over to your home with your favorite Taco Bell food. Is that the most healthiest choice? No, but it is something that these companies realized and then even started to partner with the video game companies. Like when Halo 4 came out, Mountain Dew started to run this Dew thing with Doritos, where if you buy a, you know, a bag of potato chips, or you buy a six pack or a 2 liter, there are codes that you can use in the game. Another portion of infiltration marketing, I know you're chomping at the bit, Camille, is 2008's presidential campaign, where the Democrats used President Obama, that famous change poster he has.
Time for change.
Where they actually integrated into video games.
I remember that.
And even to this day, if you pick up a game of FIFA for the Xbox One or PlayStation 4 or a Madden game, you'll see placement of products from Nike to Adidas. This is all types of infiltration marketing. I think what Camille's getting to, and this is where I'm the yang to her ying, is if you have a brand, whether you sell shoes, you have a business or anything, how can you integrate yourself into someone's ecosystem where it doesn't look artificial, but like naturally placed?
Exactly. Infiltrate your target customer, your target market.
Naturally.
It has to be seamless. This whole Mr. Robot thing was seamless. The other examples, another one, and believe me, folks, I've been doing my homework on this. Infiltration marketing is not new. It is not new. It is sorely overlooked. I'm amazed at how overlooked it is, when it seems that, ever since I saw that episode and I've been sort of obsessing over it, as a strategy, I realize it's also how Facebook has remained the biggest kid on the block after all these years. I mean, people say, oh, the death of Facebook, is Facebook gonna die? Well, guess what? Q4 of 2017, Facebook is still the preferred platform for sharing life milestones. It's the number one place where people are going to share holiday information. It's so many things. It's still the highest income demographic on Facebook. Biggest use, and it's because at every single turn, Facebook has released new features to integrate with its services, to now they've got, what is it called, Facebook Workspace or Workplace or something?
I think it's Workspace, but can I add another interjection?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Facebook, and not only Facebook, Instagram, and also Twitter. I have friends and family that follow our photography page, and a lot of times, because Instagram did such a great job of integrating products into their ads that look like just someone else's random Instagram post.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people will say, hey, Mike, hey, Camille, I didn't know you guys supported 1-800-Flowers. I didn't know you guys shot for 1-800-Flowers. They see that we're a photography site, and all of a sudden they're now posting ads, just a beautiful, photography of photos, and integrating it into the feed to make it look like that we did it. But instead, when you click on it, it goes to 1-800-Flowers site. That's one of many examples.
Right, probably because of the macro work that we did.
Exactly, but integration. Chris, that know me, like his taco truck, all of a sudden, people that are paying to play are now getting integrated into Chris's feed. Like when people visit Chris's page or they see Chris's posts come up in Instagram, all of a sudden they see local taquerias, local Mexican, eateries come up. But it looks so natural that you can't tell the difference anymore in advertising. What is an ad versus what is a real human post?
But the backbone of it, I want people to remember the backbone of it is that you have to identify something that is already in the life of your target audience, something that your target audience has already embraced and put their full trust in, and then figure out how you can become a part of that scenario. That's really what brings it home. And I did mention that, an example. Well, a lot of these are techie examples. In fact, Mike, some of the other video games, if I'm not mistaken, Halo, Call of Duty, They've all done insane infiltration marketing campaigns.
Oh, there's been like many commercials out there from Sony to Microsoft to, I wouldn't say third world companies, but AAA title companies that done a lot of infiltration. There's too many to describe. I did start up a list of how to integrate yourself, like how to infiltrate into another world. Mm-hmm. For in a bakery, D. Bartolo's Bakery, we love Allen Company. Let's say for an example, if they wanted to do great infiltration, they could easily start baking cupcakes for like football games that are like for local colleges or high schools and start selling them there. So for an example, for Rutgers here in, in South New Jersey, they could easily bake Rutgers cupcakes and sell them outside at tailgating, parties. And because they have the word Rutgers in it, or because they're involved in a environment that has sports, no one will tell that a bakery of all things is infiltrating into the sports world.
The point is that ambassador marketing really is not enough anymore. People are, am I right here? Am I off my rocker?
Let me be real with you. When you see an ambassador for someone, you're like, oh, that person's now a spokesperson for Coca-Cola, or that person is a spokesperson for McDonald's. You don't see them. They just seem too fake. You don't, like, the brain doesn't say, oh, that person's like me because I order a Big Mac, fries, and a Coke. That person's just a spokesperson. They're getting paid to do this. Where infiltration marketing is, you're integrating yourself. Another best example, we were just talking about this before recording. Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
With Chevy, going with the Camaro for Bumblebee. They integrated themselves. They infiltrated the Transformer world to sell a car that was not, they couldn't even keep it on the dealership lot because everybody saw the car in the trailers, they saw it in the movies, they wanted that Chevy Camaro. I mean, it was just, that was another good example of infiltration marketing. Another one was with, I'm trying to remember the name of the show, I can't remember, Sons of Anarchy. Harley Davidson's, yes, they're a biker group, but people wanted the custom parts for their Harleys. All of a sudden, Harley, sales were going through the roof. Not because Harley is a great marketing, great motorcycle brand. They see it in Sons of Anarchy.
And no one was ever a spokesperson for it.
Exactly.
There was never a single ad. There may have been product placement in there, but the point is, it's that the brand ambassador. Yes, Cheeky Baby. Iron Cheek.
Another example of infiltration marketing, the Blacklist. Have you noticed in the world of the Blacklist, it's either Mercedes or it's Honda. It's funny, I joked in the world, is Raymond Reddington's world, there's only two brands of cars? Because even though they have ad space during the commercial break, but you never see them mentioned on the show. And I actually went through a statistic. You never see them mentioned in the show, go buy a Mercedes or anything. They only mention it if they're looking for a Mercedes or Honda vehicle. They never mention anything about the Mercedes brand or the Honda or Acura brand, even though it's probably dominant in that world because it's infiltrated it so much, it becomes part of that world.
Right. Now, I do want to throw out a non-tech, non-TV example, okay? Because I want, my goal is to prove that infiltration marketing can work in any industry for any product or service if you do your strategization right. It's all about doing the strategy, knowing your tactics, your resources, your plan of attack. and being one with your target audience. So let's say that you make scales, you know, for people to weigh themselves with, and the holidays are coming up. Now, obviously, people don't want to buy scales around the holidays. People are known to put on a few holiday pounds. They're not exactly eager to step on the scale in the morning. And I don't know anyone who's ever actually, you know, had their eyes light up when they unwrapped a new scale for as a holiday gift. But what if you were to create a scale that lowered the reading of the weight based on shoes? What if you knew that you were going after an audience between, say, 18 and 25, and the females between 18 and 25 really love Skechers? And so you come up with, say, 3 to 5 average weights. You've got sneakers, you've got booties, you've got knee-length boots, you know, a different type of shoe, and you can actually push a button that says what type of shoes you're wearing, and it will, when it tears the scale, it will drop the weight to supposedly give you a more accurate weight given the shoes. Now you're borrowing the trust from a brand like Skechers, or if it's for construction workers, it could be the brand Timberland. You know, if you're being weighed in your work boots, what's the average weight of a pair of Timberland work boots? They're some heavy boots, you know, steel toe and all that. So you are infiltrating the trust that people already have in a brand like Timberland or Skechers or a TV show or anything. Just find out one thing that is completely adopted and trusted by your target audience, and find out how you can integrate your product or service with that. And I think that that has been one of the most overlooked strategies in marketing since it first, you know, came on the scene in about 2008. So I want to bring the podcast to a close. It's been a good half hour now, and I want to thank everybody for being with us. And, you know, let us know your thoughts. Will this work for you? That's one thing I want to know. Will this work for you and your line of business, and why or why not?
You know, before we close, I had to look up one last statistic, and it all varies, especially for small mom and pop, you know, brick owners. I mean, brick and mortar owners. I mean, of course, you own a brick if you own a building. But I mean, what it is that infiltration marketing is very simple. Get involved with your community. Get involved with local sports. If you have a kid's, you know, sports team, how hard would it be, especially for a restaurant, to offer the, you know, Timmy Slugger package that has, like, you know, a bacon cheeseburger, fries, and a drink? You know, infiltrate yourself so much into your community that you now, integrate with it.
That, again, that's actually a double point, because that is one of the hot tips for holiday marketing, is to tap into your loyalty now. Do not wait until December or whatever to, you know,
on December 24th, then you decide to do something.
Yeah, loyalty program or whatnot. Start giving exclusive member-only offers now. Start doing your personalized email campaigns and, you know, really get personal with your most loyal customer base now.
Exactly. Again, guys, use the hashtag #AskCamille. You know, we love all the questions that come in, all the comments. I love all the love everyone gives me. Thank you very much.
Oh, stop it.
But this is something you want to think of. This is the wave of the future. Amazon is now growing, and they're taking right steps. Either you could follow by example or follow to, you know, oblivion.
Yeah, I mean, they are the biggest examples. Facebook, Amazon, they're using infiltration marketing. So why isn't everyone else? Think about it.
Exactly. If you have any ideas, or you want to run an idea by us, use the hashtag #AskCamille. Camille's all over the place. Social media, yeah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, her website. We're kind of doing a revamp. So if you see some pages that have 404 errors, it's our cat. It's his fault.
Yeah, if you want to see our cat, find a 404 error page. We make great error pages. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much. Remember that, you know, money is replaceable. Time is not. Thank you for spending some of yours with us, especially with especially for putting up with Sheiky Baby over here.
I would quote some of his quotes, but they're not safe for podcasts.
No, they're not, especially not our platforms. So thank you, everyone, and have a fabulous night, evening, day, wherever you are. Take care.
Take care.